Says we're live. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We thank the Lord this morning, giving God all the praise, all the honor, and all of the glory, for he is God and God alone, and beside him, there is none other. So we just want to welcome everybody this morning and praise God for your presence. Pray that you and everyone that's watching tuned into what the Lord is saying. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, this is Elder Anton Seals, AGS Ministry, and Jennifer Nelson says, we give God all the praise, honor, and the glory. We exalt his name because he's God and God alone. And so, Lord, we come right now, God, as we bow down and worship you and move ourselves out of the way, that we become more Christ-like, that we become more focused and understanding and hearing the leading of the Holy Spirit as you guide us, God, in the direction that you would have us to go. Lord, let us hear your word, even on this class and every class, oh God. Move things out of our way, oh God. Keep our minds stayed. Turn our phones off and everything else that could be a distraction. The devil is a liar because he doesn't want you to know the word of God and experience a higher height that God has for all mankind. Lord, we adore you. We magnify you. We worship you. And we thank you, Lord. As I close on this prayer, I want to make sure we lift up all those that are suffering today. Lord, that we stand in the gap, oh God, that we would be concerned about those who are less fortunate, those and so many people that have died from COVID, over 5 million people, over 225 million people have been affected with this virus. So, Lord, we hear our cries as we stand in the gap for others in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. God bless everybody. Good to see you, Sister Emma. Praise the Lord. It's great to see your smiling face up there. I got somebody live with me today. Hallelujah. That's right, smile, because everybody else make me sweat and don't want to look at me. Son, I washed up too. I'm clean. Glory. So we thank God for this podcast and giving God all the glory as we continue to thank God. And God bless you, Charlamagne. And thank God for what he's doing in our lives. Amen. And this class is a powerful class again by Tommy Tenney, the God Chaser. And Lord, I just pray as we listen to this teaching today, and I say we listen because I don't know what's coming out and off the paper. God bless you, Sister Naomi. And so as we continue to grow in this word, make sure you understand that there's so much more that God has for us. There's so much more that we need to be willing to understand and to identify with Christ, that he is the head of everything. And we thank him and adore him. But open your hearts this morning, this afternoon, whenever you hear this, and tune in to the Spirit that's in you, the Holy Spirit, for we worship him in spirit and in truth. We start this lesson off today, and we're looking at chapter 9. My God, we only got 2 more weeks, November 23rd, 33 weeks, and the last week is really kind of a closeout and a review, but I want to thank you all for being on, and thank Elder Jennifer Seals for all that she does as we continue to get in this word and to dig deeper, to draw closer to God, that he would be glorified in our lives, amen, for he is a God of our salvation, and Lord, we're going to go to page 1 on the handout that I gave you. If you would, if you don't mind, go to page 1. And you'll notice at the top it says dismantling. And so really what that interprets to be is a breaking. It's a breaking of our spirit. It's a breaking of the Holy Spirit to break us. We last week or so, we've talked about repentance, being able to turn away from sin. And we say that rather casually, but I want you all to know that you just can't wake up in the morning and say, I'm just going to be saved. That is something that we don't do. That is God's calling on our lives. He knows the day and the time, and he knows the sins that we're going to make. But dismantling is being able to humble yourself. And I did maybe an overboard with some of the extra scriptures on the alabaster box and Mary, Mary who was Martha's sister. and then Mary Magdalene. They're two different people who are doing the anointing on Jesus. Mary Magdalene is the one that washed his hair. Jesus' feet, amen, with her hair. She anointed him, but she first washed his feet with her tears. And I'm going to tell you that I was reading this, and the story goes on. Let me get into the text of this, and then we can explore it even more. Amen. And so on that page, on that handout page that you have, let's go right there and take a look at what is it saying to us right now. And it says that about the Trinity, and I started off with this, even though this is at the back of the book on page 205, I think it is. I wanted to make sure that you all, everybody, not just you all, but whoever may be listening to this text of this class, that you would hear and understand that the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we've been talking this whole class for 9 weeks about the Spirit of God, not just the letter of the word, but really understanding what's missing in the world today. And so I gave you a couple of links to look at for further review that might help you understand more if you have any questions about the Trinity. And it says the Trinity is one God existing in three persons. One God existing in three persons. And so we want to keep in mind as we study this that the word Trinity, as you know, some of you may not know, that the word Trinity is actually not found in Scripture. It's not in the Bible. You'll read about the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. These are the triune God is the Father of all creation. And he says in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God. And so he formed the world out of his thoughts, and he spoke it into being. So that's God, the Father. And then Jesus is the Word, which is the breath of God. That is now we call Noah, that is the seed being the Word, the seed being the thought. And so we refer to it as the mustard seed. That's what we've been taught all the years, but really it's the Spirit of the living God, that seed is this parable of the Spirit of God, that he made himself into flesh. And so can you imagine in your own minds and thinking just how powerful God is? It's beyond our scope of understanding. And so this is a term that describes a triune God. And so I just wanted you all to be aware of that. And I gave some scriptures. We're going to go there and right now take a look at it. In Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created. And he created it by thinking and his thoughts. And the breath of God blew life into everything as he spoke it into being. So he speaks a word by the breath of God. We call it the Ruach of God. And there are other pronunciations. But it's the presence of God, the Holy Spirit of God, that created everything. So I went back to the beginning. And so we see that it was created. God has created the world. It was without form. It was void. It was dark. Hallelujah. And was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God. I love that. The Spirit of God. Can we talk about the Spirit? This is a living spirit. This is undefinable by your mind. You have to have a relationship with God to get to the place where this takes you a little bit deeper into the waters. But if you go shallow fishing, you get certain kinds of fish. But if you really want to do a deep dive and get to understand Christ and his ways and his will, and for the revelation of God, what he gives you, the deep calls into the deep, the storms of your life is what that represents, the trials and the tribulations that you go through, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but he brings us from, he delivers us out of every one of them. So the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God divided that. So darkness cannot consume the light of God. In other words, your sin that will never eradicate the love of God, that he can never erase the love of God, can never stop the love of God. Now, you can get to a place where you become a reprobate, but that's you. That is not God doing that. That's a choice that we make. These are choices. And what are your priorities as we make make choices in our lives is that where do we put God? Where do we put Christ? Is he the head of our life, or is he just when we need something? And I think Tommy Tenney refers to it as when we play with God like it's tricks. We're going to get some trick-or-treats, and we always got our hands out wanting something from God. But what is God really saying to you that you can get in this place with understanding the power of God in your life and God do some new things in each one of you because he loves you and we adore him? And so Genesis 1:26, we see that God is saying, let us, who is the us? And so that's why I wanted to do this, to make sure that we're identifying with the Holy Spirit. That says that John 4:24, if you, as Jesus wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so how do you do that if you don't spend some time with God? Amen. So I want us to just take a look at some of these scriptures and make some footnotes, if you will, the power of God's presence in your life, that in the beginning was a dark void world, and God speaks into it. The breath of God moves upon the waters and he separates it. And then he says that the light, this light that was shining, really was Christ Jesus. Amen. Because this wasn't yet the first day. So the light is shining. Ha, glory to God. And so this light represents the light of God. Like God is the light. Jesus is the light. The holy light of God is the spirit of the living God that's moving in you today. And so we go on. He says, God created man in his own image. So he made us look like what he wanted us to look like. Amen. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female. I want to say that again. He created male and female. And so we have some choices to make. If this word is true, then we have to follow and believe God and obey God. If there's anything we can get from these lessons, is to have not only the intimacy with God, so you can know God and fall in love with God and still be disobedient. There are people that love God, love their wives, and they're abusive. There are people who love God and serve God who are so disobedient and so jealous and so angry. So those human characteristics that we have, God knows all about it. And he's given us a way out of everything that we experience. So I just want to encourage you to know that God made us in his image and his likeness, and he created male and female. And so this is the Trinity. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. And so that becomes Jesus. And so the beautiful thing about God is that he gives us power. He said, I've given you power to not only appropriate me to bring forth children, but also bring forth more fruit, to multiply. Amen. To replenish the earth. He wasn't talking about just replanting. He was talking about creating families and subdue it and be able to control the dominion called dunamis power, not to rule and dictate over people, but to lovingly have authority and power to do the will of God, because you know his plan and his purpose. Kingdom building is what this is all about. He created us to take care of this kingdom on earth. Amen. God says God rains down his doctrine. And we talked about Luke 8 and 10, I think it was, or 10 and 8, where we talked about the word, the seed being the word of God. It's a parable that people who cannot understand will not accept Jesus Christ, do not want to accept him. And even those of us who love God, you have to contend. This is a journey. This is a lifetime journey. And the Holy Ghost will teach you all things. And so he's telling us that in Deuteronomy 32, and I've seen this before, it didn't jump out and I didn't make the relationship. This is NIV. Let my teachings fall like rain. Who is saying that? And so as we talk about dismantling ourselves, we have to hear that everything that God created us to do, we have to know his plan and his will. And the divine plan of God in our lives, the will of God, the divine plan, the Jeremiah 11 plan, that he created us in his image and his likeness, but he created us and said, not to bring harm to you, but to bless you. And so we've talked about that in the past, but to make the connection that God says the rain, the teaching fall like rain. In other words, the Spirit of God becomes rain, because Jesus, God says, I am that I am. I am rain, I am light, I am water. These words have meaning in the spiritual domain beyond just what's on the paper. And so when he says it descends like dew, remember in Genesis, the only dew that was on the ground was to nourish. There was no rain at that time. So there's Jesus and God, rather, in Deuteronomy 32, talking to Moses and saying, Moses, I'm going to send rain. It's going to be me, teacher. I'm going to send the word. It's going to rain down on you. And so the rain, the spirit of God, the word of God, comes down like manna from heaven. Does that make sense? Glory. He says, my doctrine is my word. Every word is by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So the word that I'm talking about, y'all forgive me, God, I know it's going to happen today. So I got to get my tissue ready. I'm sweating. This word is so powerful. I just want you all to be able to tap into the goodness of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, that he loves us so much and made us. So what does God look like? You say, Sister Emma, what does God look like? He look like me. I'm beautiful. glory to God. Willie Mae, Charlie Mae, Naomi. What God look like? Look like me. But then you're beautiful. Because he didn't make no mess. Everything that he made, every good gift comes. You're a gift. Hallelujah. See, the world, we don't know the gift of who you really are in this world. That's what's wrong today. See, you can discover the power of this word, and you can get caught up in this word and get so self-righteous. That's why he says you got to be broken. You got to be broken every day. Every day, die daily. That's letting the word. If I was a farmer, I have to cultivate the land. I got to plow the land. I got to plant the seeds. I got to water. You got to do all those things. But he's saying to you that God created his in you the image of God, and then he said, "I'm going to feed you not just with the natural things, but I'm going to feed you spiritually the same way I did to meet your physical needs from manna from heaven. I'm feeding you this word. Eat of this, taste and see." What you talking about? He wasn't talking about no honeycomb. He's talking about the word. He said, taste this word. Yeah, I see him smiling, so I wish I could see the rest of y'all's faces. Hallelujah. Where is Sister Charlie Mae and Willa Mae on that? Come on up here, then Naomi. And so this word that's in you is the spirit. It's the breath of God. That's why he calls you to be the lamp and to the world, and calls you to be pillars of strength. Amen. And so John 1 and 5 through 5 says the beginning was the word was with God. We've been saying that over and over, so I'm not going to go into that much. And the light shineth in darkness. Yeah. And so what God does with us is the light that's shining in darkness is you. So in the dark world, and even when you're going through, if you think about this, I don't care how down you can be. If you start meditating on this word, But let me tell you, your natural mind is going to throw up all kind of stuff to tell you, no, 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 no. Because it's the spirit of God that the natural mind does not want you to know, that you have that kind of power that you can speak life into yourself, that you can enter a room and your presence changes the atmosphere. And if it don't change and it's bad, that's telling you to get out. Don't go back there. Knock the dust from your heel. Your assignment is not to save the world. Your assignment is to spread the love of God. Because what he rained down in the doctrine, thank you, Holy Spirit, what he rained down from the rain, he says, teaching like it was like, let my teachings fall like rain, my words descend like dew. And that, so the word, let the word of God permeate, saturate you the way that the showers do the grass. And so that the abundance of rain brings on tender plants so that you become stronger in the word. Amen. And so that's where we get that strength of God. And then he goes all the way to New Testament, and he tells us that the in the beginning was me. Hallelujah. And I created you to look like me, and I set you to be the kings of your family, and I've given you authority and power by the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary. Glory to God. This word, God's word is amazing. And so we go to page two at the top, John 4:24. He says that God is a spirit. We talked about that a moment ago. And then Colossians 1:16-20, for in him were all things created. We've talked about that again. So I'm just doing kind of a rehab, a repeat. And so to help you reflect on, as you study this word, that it is Christ, the visible, invisible God who becomes visible, the invisible, visible, the word that rained down, the word that transformed itself from a speaking God in heaven who drops down from heaven in the shape of a man and is birthed out of a woman. Amen. And man, that's why women, and no offense, brothers, but women can most 99% of the time, women go, I'll pray men, because they have a different relationship with God. They have a relationship, a tenderness of God, a nurturing, and they don't have an issue with surrendering to God the way men do. Men, we some stuff. If you ever notice, think about it, sisters, and think about it, class. You go to church, you're going to see mostly women involved in the church, in the body of Christ. And it's amazing because sometimes the women who are doing so much, they don't get recognized all the time. And in some denominations, the women cannot get up in the pulpit, can't preach. And so that's, I'm not going to get into that because that's doctrine of man and denominationalism. And so the Colossians and 1:16 says that the earth was made and it was visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions and powers and principalities. All things were created by him, and he is the head of the church. In the beginning was the firstborn, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So he dwells in you, that the fullness of God dwelleth in you. 2 Corinthians 4 says, for God commanded light. And it, see, we said it earlier in Genesis 1, and now we go to the New Testament. See, the Old Testament is the foreshadowing of the coming of Jesus. For those of you that are listening in, we've talked about it on this podcast, on this Bible class, repeatedly. For God commanded light to shine out of darkness. That light is Jesus. Amen. That light is also the sun that he created and he called a day. But we have this treasure, the treasure in the earthen vessel. You're an earthen vessel. What's the treasure? If I was in a class and I was sitting around, I'd call on y'all and say, what's the treasure? And well, what's the treasure? Well, what's the treasure? Do you see yourself, Clarence Brown, as the treasure chest? It's a vessel of God that he even gave you the keys to the kingdom. Gave you the keys. Everything that you need, God has already made it available to all of us. And all we need to do is be obedient to the will of God. Let's go down to the burial of man's glory. Ooh, the burial of man. In other words, can you die to yourself? Have you let Christ be the head of your life? Amen. Is Christ the head of your life? Ooh, my God, today. The dismantle. And so I tried to break this down a little bit, and I think we're still on page one. Was that, maybe 1 second, let me go back up to the top. 191. And so when we get into this denying of ourselves, we started off with dismantling. And the dismantling again is dealing with self-denial, deny self. And we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Accept God and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And so we can go back to look at these scriptures. And I really tried to teach this today. And every time we teach this, give you as many scripture texts as possible so that the relevance of what he's talking about as you read it and study it. And if we were in a class, we could read some of this and talk. But there's so much to learn and to share. It says that the word is nigh thee. God is always present. That's what that's saying to us. But if you're in yourself all the time, if you don't believe that the Spirit of the living God is speaking to you, that he sent you to do his work. See, the divine plan of God is what moves the kingdom and keeps the world turning and going. It's the Spirit of God that he sent you with the light of God, with the power of God to do his bidding, to do his work. You're his servant. And so that's why it's important to be humble. And that's why it's important to get to the place where we have a contrite heart, that we're heartily sorry for all the things that we've done wrong. But I wanted to make sure that you see that the word, which is, it says that the word rained down, you know, teaching that is raining down from heaven, the doctrine of the word of God. It's a spirit. Romans 3 and 10 says, it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. For we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. The wages of sin is death. Amen. And so we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And so what does that mean? We've sinned. We've fallen short of the glory. But what does he do? He forgives us. Why did he forgive us? Because he sent us to do his work. Just like Jesus came to do the work of the Father, just like the disciples came to do the work that Jesus taught them, so that you now go teach what God taught you and that you can begin to have an impact on people's lives. Amen. So we don't fall short of the glory, the presence of God, the joy of the Lord, of our strength that cometh from God. Ephesians 2 and 1 said he has quickened you. We who are dead, that's why I pulled this one up. You see in the yellow print I have there on your handout on page 2, number C and B, number C, it goes down and it says, you have been quickened. In other words, that's a transformation where you were brought out of this sin nature. That's what eternal life, the gift of salvation is the gift of eternal life. That he says that in the word, if you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to have intimacy with me, then in that intimacy with me, you'll find how I transform you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that your natural mind has now become subject or obedient to the will of God. So that your natural things that you would normally do, he's pulled you away from that sin nature. He said we all fall short of the glory of God, but he pulls us away from the sin nature. And so where in the times past you walked according to the course of this world, we're in the world, but I'm challenging you not to live the way the world lives. That's why the world is in the shape it's in. We were praying a couple weeks ago, we were praying about just how man has ruined society and even nature, and even now outer space, where they talked about Russia, but America's done the same thing. America has left so much waste and pollutants in the outer space realm. And America today was talking about in the news yesterday, today, that Russia blew up a satellite that wasn't being used and it scattered debris. Man has been scattering its debris and ugliness on the face of the earth that we don't even want to put a mask on because of what? Because you don't believe over 5 million people have died. The over 200 and almost 250 million people across the world are suffering from COVID, and we don't believe God is giving us a sign. And so when we get so self-righteous that we can go to a festival that is not lifting up the Spirit of God, and people get beside themselves, see that there's something that quickens in the world, that we'll trample over people at a concert. And I think a 9 or 10 year old little boy died because people trampled over him. It's amazing that what moved those people was a spirit that was so powerful. Well, where could they possibly go? The stage is right in front of you. You can only go forward and press people so much that you become a vice. And it crippled people that they couldn't move. There was so much pressure on your body. I wish you could see my face and my body. I'm squeezing my arms. And I can imagine if I got people all around me, my arms are tight. If you take your arms and put your hands up and put your elbows, sit up straight, put your elbows down and close to your chest, going down the diaphragm of your body there and squeeze in. Can you imagine if you got thousands of people pressing all over you and you can't move and now you can't breathe. And for a concert and won't worship God. And people have problem with you because you worship God. Mm-hmm. But we have to dismantle. We have to ask God to break that yoke of the behavior of the world, that our minds are not focused on just pleasure. It says in that verse 3 in Ephesians 2 and 3, it says, among whom also we all had our conversation in the past with our lusts, with the feelings, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. That's what I was describing. We're describing these things because it's the nature of sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, for great love, wherein he loved us, even we were dead in sin, he quickened us together with Christ. For you are saved. You're not saved by faith. You're saved by grace. Grace is God. Grace is Jesus. Grace is the omnipotent presence and the fullness and the sovereignty of God in all his glory. Amen. And he dispenses it the way he wants, to save you, to give you favor, to watch over you, mercy, to not give you what we deserve. And then notice I said we. He have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. I should have put that in that purplish color there or whatever that is, lavender looks like. But understand what he's saying. I've raised you up together. And later on in Ephesians said, fitly functioning together and being on one accord and being united and in union as one, for we are one in Christ. And so this hath quickened us together with Christ. We are saved by grace, raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places with Jesus, the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So not to overread the word, but to kind of exegete a little bit, it says that I was raised up together with you, brothers and sisters, not by the power of myself, but by the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're on this class together, and people are listening to this, and I'm praying more and more people would come and hear the word of God, because there's so much more power. There's so much more information. There's so many more things that God has for us. If we would work together, if we would pray together, if we learn to forgive, and first of all, have a relationship of sincerity, where is the priority of Christ Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit in your life? What is the priority that you have in life, and where is God in that? And I always say that, what's in your wallet? What's in your heart? How much time can we give to God? I said to my son, Josh, I was talking to him last night, I said, can you imagine? Can you imagine the beauty of God and the holiness of who he is and what he created? And you may see some beauty, you may see something different, but the beauty of his holiness is in his word, that you can do all things through Christ. Can you just imagine that he's quickened us together, set us in a heavenly place in Christ? So you won't be in yourself when you're in prayer. He says that you know not how to pray without the exception of the unctioning of the Holy Spirit, the quickening of the word of God that moves you out of your natural mind to bring you to another realm of the presence of God to reveal to you, to enlighten to you, for you are saved by grace through faith. Amen. Let's move on. Glory. Surrender is another a topic that was made in chapter 1 or chapter 9, but in the first few pages, we're still on 191, 192. And Jesus is your personal Savior, is Jesus. Surrender to God, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Have we accepted the Lord as our Lord and Savior? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Are you really, we're on 192, 193. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior on page 3 of your handout? Many people view Christianity as attending church, performing rituals, and are not committing certain sins. That's not Christianity. True Christianity is a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. It's accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, meaning to place your own personal faith and trust in him. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. No one is saved by faith of others. I can't save you. I can lead you to the one who can, but that's only if you want to go. Glory to God. I can't make it. My mother said all the time, God rest her soul. And I wonder if you've ever heard this. Any of you can send me a chat. Have you ever heard? My mama just say, Anton, I can lead you to the water. But I can't make you drink.
Drink, yeah.
And I was, well, Mom, why do you say that? She said, because you're hard-headed. So what I do? You don't listen. I'm telling you that. And so the water that rains down, the doctrine of God, the Spirit of God, that's the same. Is that we have to hear God and get out of His way, and let people that have the love of God in their hearts lead you in the right direction or give you information so you can make better decisions. But sometimes those are the people that we give the hardest time to, because they're going to tell you the truth and you don't want to hear it. Yeah. I remember time, and let me get away from that, but let's John 3:14-18. And Moses left and lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. So if God says that he has to be lifted up in Jesus, the Son of Man, Jesus, be lifted up, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So the word has to lift us up. It breaks the yoke. We can praise God, but it has to begin internally, not just something that comes out your mouth, but is it sincerity of your heart? That whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but had. So this is the gift of eternal life that he's given you through the word, to believe it, to accept him as Lord and Savior. And so as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness to cure people, amen, because the serpent was biting him, he put him on this pole on the rod, made a rod, put it on him, and everybody that looked at it got healed. But today it's by faith. Can you believe? All you got to do is touch that Bible and believe it. I'm believing for miracles. I'm believing for signs or wonders. I'm believing for your breakthroughs. I'm believing for joy in your marriages and the cast down and tear down and root out depression and illness and sickness by the power of God's word. Not you and I, but through God, through Christ Jesus in us, that word will rain down on other people and begin to change the atmosphere, change the way the people think. God sent not his son into the world to condemn it, but the world through him might be saved. So he's using us to serve, to lead people to Christ, because you can't save them. Well, our job is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our job is to learn this word. Our job is to get so much oil from the Lord himself, the Holy Spirit in you, that you're shining all over the world, that people begin to seek out you. That there's something about as we get older, have you found yourself to sometimes get agitated, or have you found yourself to now get to a place where things that used to bother you don't bother you? God sent his son out to the world to condemn it. So if we're living in anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, God has cast that out when he died for you through Christ Jesus. And he sent a comforter, the Holy Ghost. So he never left us. So God sent his son to the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. So you're saved by God's word of grace. Grace is his word. It's his spirit. Romans 6:22. But now being made free from sin. Free from sin. You're free from sin. So I wanted to point these things out. So as we get to this place of something that I've really been focused on, adoration, God wants to break the yoke of self-righteousness and high-mindedness. Begin to adore God. Start your prayer life and journal and write down what you're praying about, and begin to study the word more and see how your life changes. We pray with some men that we've been praying for 3 years, and we're still believing that and really believing that God is healing and delivering and restoring and revealing. What does it mean to adore, to worship God, to honor him? For he is the Lord deity, meaning the reverence of his holiness, the divine almighty God, to give regard with loving admiration. It's a devotion that you would have toward your children or your wife or your brother or your sister. You can have friends who you can become closer to them than you can your own blood family.
That's true.
Because there's a connection sometime in the spirit that goes beyond the blood because it's a spirit.
Yeah.
What does it mean to give adoration? It's the respect. It's the reverence. It's a strong admiration to a certain person, place, or thing. But we're talking about Christ. To worship, to bow down, and to worship. Oh, come, let us worship. Let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. Every knee shall bow. But Lord, we bow down. We come and we bow down. We come to worship you. We come to adore you. We come to say glory to your name. Glory, God, that you made the heavens, oh God, your train in the heavens, oh God. We can't even imagine how can you form the Milky Ways and how can you know all that you know? How can you create the mountains? How can you rain down so much and stop the rain from coming, and the world was flooded, and just a handful of people through Noah and his family were the what you only left behind. And man still fails to recognize the holiness of who you are. So how do we come to God to adore God? We come to God and adore him through some prayers. And I gave you two links here that if you get time, one is by, I think, Chip Ingram from Live on the Edge Ministry Organization. I don't believe they're a church. I just was looking up, doing some quick research to prepare for the lesson. And it says that Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Ghost, give us a prayer, models of prayer for adoration. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, when we have this intimacy with God, when we have this relationship with God, when we're in this place with the Holy Spirit of God, that he's saying, well, be anxious for nothing. I've set you in a heavenly place with Jesus. So that I can speak to you, that you can hear me, that you will obey me, that I'm going to bring some knowledge that you need, that you've been searching for, and you've been asking for the break. I'm the breaker, and I'm going to use you as a breaker. I'm going to use you as an extension to draw people to Christ Jesus. So be anxious for nothing, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, my. The peace of God. You need some peace, which passeth all comprehension with your hearts and guard your heart and your mind. So when you're in that place, he goes on and he says that the acronym ACTS stands for, and you go down to the next page, the adoration, the confession, and the thanksgiving, and the supplication. Another God, we're coming to you, God, and we're coming surrendering. We're coming to tell you we love you. We're not just coming to confess to say, oh God, I'm sorry, but I want you to know I love you. I love the beautiness of who you are. I love my wife. I love you how you've given me this spirit of love for my neighbors, for the well-being of other people that you may put me in tune with, or I may cross paths with. I don't know what you got for me to do all the time, God, but I want you to know, people of God, to adore God, love on God. He wants us to minister to him. He wants us. He's a jealous God. And if we don't spend time with him, he gets upset with us and he allows us to continue in that cycle of sin nature. But he says, if you cannot come and adore me. So that's important that we understand that there are different steps of learning about the adoration of God. And the first step of adoration, that especially gets us focused, it gets you off yourself. That's what I started off with. Get out of self. Put your prayers on the altar and leave them, because they become a sweet smell, because God knows the sincerity of your heart. See, the fragrance was your brokenness. It had brought you to a place It brings you, see, prayer brings you to a place where the Lord will usher you in and he'll reveal some things because he says, I sit at the sea of glass. In other words, at the lavier in the Old Testament was a place of washing. You could see the reflection in the bronze pans. They could see the reflection. They could use it as a mirror, but you could see that in the water, God is showing you that in the water, I'm going to reveal. So in other words, in the depth of my word, I'm going to reveal some things to you. But holy is his name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, and all the benefits. Don't forget all the benefits you got. Did you wake up this morning in your right mind? Glory. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. You wake up one morning and you can't move, or you get in the bed and you got to get some help to get out of bed. I've been there. You're 30 years old and you don't think you can get sick. Keep on living. It may not come at 30, may come at 15, may come at 10. We got children. More and more children are dying because of sickness and disease in the world. And we're subjecting our children to more death, be it on how what they see and what they do because of what they're being exposed to and not enough love of God. God rests there, rests there. God says, and rest in the arms of God. God and rest in the arms of God. Rest in the arms of God. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. See, adoration has to do with also being able to be in a place of being comfortable, to be in a place where I can trust. Rock, and he started off talking about the story of his daughter and how he would rock her in the arm or he would run around chasing her. But there's a relationship in this where I want us to understand what God is saying. I want you to rest in me. I want you to trust in me. I want you to wait on the Lord and be of good courage, for I will strengthen your heart. Fret not because of whom and who of whom him prospered in his way because of the man who bringeth wicked devices. Don't worry about them, he's saying. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself of him who prospers in his way because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't get jealous of people that have things, in other words. Don't get so envious of people and they living doing what they're doing. And you say, God, how they do that? How they getting so many blessings and I ain't? But it's not about just life on earth. What happens to the soul in you when you leave here? And so there's some things that we need to rectify and make sure that our purpose is understood, that by the purpose of God, his plan, his will. So you're not caught up in how other people prosper. You don't have your eyes, as we used to say, on the Joneses. You got your eyes and your mind stayed on Jesus and that helmet of salvation. Salvation meaning that I have turned your mind. You've been transformed. You're not the old vessel that you used to be. You become a new creature. Matthew, take up my yoke upon you. The word of God is a heavy load. It's the kabod of God, the glory of God. It's the heaviness in the weight of God on your life, the heaviness to be willing to separate yourself from the things that your natural mind desires. And fret not thyself for those who are prospering while you're suffering, but take upon me my yoke, take upon my word, put on the cross that Jesus carried on his shoulders. That's the yoke that you carry in the likeness of God. It's your meekness that people misunderstand and walking lowly with a holy heart. In other words, I love you so much, God, that I'm trusting you for the rest of my life. And I wish I had done it over earlier, but I can't go back and do it over. So God, for the rest of your life, wherever you are on this journey called life journey, and you got a destination, and one day you're going to walk into a place where your number is going to get called, your name is going to be called, because I've got an end date. But I want you to carry the load, and I've given you strength to be able to do it, because I want to give your soul some rest. And you don't have to wait till you die for your soul to rest. Rest in the name of Jesus and let me rock you in the cradle of his arm. He'll wash your feet. He'll clean your heart. He'll deliver you. He'll turn your enemies and make them your footstool. That's the kind of power that God has given us. But my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy. What was hard in the natural becomes easy in the spirit because I've watched my Father in heaven show me time and time again. I remember seeing my mama struggle and still made it. And that's what the meekness is. It's a love that no matter what happens, no matter what you go through, Lord, I'm not turning away from you. I'm going to hold on to this yoke because the burden gets lighter because I know it's you. Ah, I know it's the presence of God. I know it's the Holy Spirit that quickens you and I to go further for the glory of God. Devil, you a liar because you've given me power, God, to step on the devil's head. The adder, the snake, is the devil that beguiled Eve. It's the same snake that's beguiling mankind to be so selfish and so self-righteous and so hateful. And so God resting, we want to rest in his arm. And so he says, the Lord is my shepherd. When you know who your shepherd is, when you know who your real father is, it's not enough just to love your dad and your mom. And sometimes you don't have loving parents. And sometimes your parents may love you, but they don't know how to share that love because maybe they don't have that relationship with God. They can go to church, but they ain't got no relationship with God. They have no intimacy with God. They just go in his words, and I want to release the spirit in you to quicken you to thirst the more for Jesus. For this water that you drink, this word that you're reading, this doctrine that's running down from heaven is the word of God raining down on you to teach you the word of God to come alive, to give you strength to overcome every obstacle because I've got a plan for you. And Jeremiah said in 6 and 16, thus says, Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask of the old path. Where is the good way? Walk therein and you shall find rest for your soul. He says, seek ye God. He says, stand ye in the way, stand with God. Thus saith God, stand in ye the way, stand in the will of God, and see and ask. He tells you to seek and ask and knock. Hallelujah. Ask, seek and knock. He tells you that and ask God, believing, and he'll show you. But you got to face him. On page 192 in my book, but the topic is you will have to face him. See, every knee got to bow. And but before you bow, God is still talking to you. Some stuff is going on in your life that he's allowing to happen. Set before you an open door. God is always a God of the present. The past belongs to the past. He says, stop worrying about the past and give no thought for that. And don't worry about tomorrow. Focus on God right now. Give your life to Jesus right now. If you don't have a relationship with God, if you don't know God and you want to join a church, write us. We're not a church per se, but write us and we will direct you to a church of your choice and or one that we can recommend, depending on where you live, and tell you how to find a good church. If you don't know how to find it, we'll help you find a way. But in the meantime, tune into this class. Yeah, thank you, Holy Ghost. Tune into this class. So we can share the word. The world's changing. He says, Matthew 7 says, ask and shall be given. Seek ye shall find. Knock. What are you waiting on? So if you ask yourself a question in this text, it says, you got to face him. What does Matthew 7 say? Ask. So who are you asking? Who, when you ask somebody something, and I'm doing this because I know I want you all to see this, and people lie, I want you to see this, that I'm holding my phone in my face, and I'm looking at it, and I see just the phone, but the rest, what he's showing me is the open door. Who am I talking to on the phone? I'm giving them my attention. So I'm standing, and Jesus is standing at our door, and he's asking us to come in. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and then shut the door. Pray to the Father in secret. And then in secret, what you ask, he'll reveal openly to the world for everyone to see. You don't have to boast about it. So finding this place with God means to have a prayer life, to talk to God, to ask God, to seek him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things are added unto thee. God is calling you and us. He's calling us, you and I. He's calling you, he's calling us, as he wants to show the things to come. He wants to reveal revelations 1 and 2, the revelation of Jesus, which God gave it to him to show it to his servants. Who are his servants? See, don't read this as if somebody else. You're the servant. You're a servant of God. You're children of God. Servants, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent them, signified it by his angels unto his servant John. And so John was actually seated in a heavenly place. He was transformed. He was predestinated into time where God was revealing things to him in a natural physical being body, but he took him to another realm in the spiritual realm and set him with Christ Jesus and revealed to him the glory of God and what was come, and even the fear of the end of the world. And so all of these things that John saw, God wants to show you some things. Go down to Revelations 2 on page 5. And it says, Revelations 4, 1 and 2. After this, looked and behold, a door in heaven is open. And the first voice which I heard was a trumpet talking with me. It said, come up. This is, can you imagine the voice of God sounding like a trumpet? It has a sound. And it's calling you to come higher. Come up hither. Higher. I will show you some things. I want you to read that. If you want to see some things, you want God to show you some things, ask him. Ask him and read this scripture over and over. Come up hither. God, how do we, your people, come up closer to you? One, you have to surrender. One, you have to be obedient to the word. One another, you have to have a prayer life. Because prayer life is meaning to communicate with God, to talk with God, to listen to God, and then to obey God and do his will. You knew the word, but did not know God. I should have said, you know the word, but you knew the word, or you know the word, but do you know God? And John teaches us in John 1 and 10 through 14, he was in the world. Jesus was in the world. The living God in flesh was in the world, and the world that he made by him, the world made, and the world knew him not, because Jesus is God in the flesh. My, my, my. But listen to number 12, verse 12. But as many as received him, he gave you power. Now, I changed the word he to them gave he power, but he gave you power. To become the sons of God. So how do you get this power to become a son? Because you've been anointed by God, because you've been in his presence. And so all the sins have been washed away and you're not living a sin nature life. You got sin in you because you're flesh, but you come to him with a humble spirit. You're seeking his face, that you understand his will and his purpose. You come back to your father for some divine wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It's like talking to your parents when you're a teenager and you're trying to make decisions because you're getting ready to go to college. You was once a little baby and we had to breastfeed you. That was your wife's breastfeed you, and the wife breastfed you. Amen. The children, the woman of God, the mother breastfed the baby. Hallelujah. But we were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Are you hearing the will of God for your life? So when you're in that relationship of this word feeding you, that you get off the milk, and you begin to consume the word, the meaty part of the word, where you have to sit and listen to the be led of the Holy Spirit, the unction of the Holy Spirit that helps you to pray, so that you gives you a prayer tongue. So the prayer tongue is between you and God, and it edifies what he's given you to do and say, so that that the devil don't know what God is saying to you. And sometimes we don't even understand the tongues, but sometimes I find when I'm praying, God gives me an unction to pray, and the unction of the Holy Spirit will give you things that come out of your mouth in the natural language. language that you speak, and when you listen to your spirit talking, because you're not doing it. It's not you that's praying anymore. It's the Spirit of the living God using your vessel, because you're the treasure of God. Treasure chest, a vessel of God. Tabernacle of God. And thy word made flesh and dwelt among us and beheld his glory. So as we see that the word becomes flesh and beheld his glory of the begotten son, the only begotten son, which is Jesus. The Lord wants us to believers, to have intimacy with God. Intimacy, brothers and sisters. No man can come unto him except with the Father, who has sent him. I will raise him up at the last day. Psalms 91:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Who do you spend your time with? The Lord wants you to draw nigh to him. The Lord wants you to have intimacy with him. And he's saying in Psalms 91, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way with the sinners, nor seated with the scornful. Who are you sitting around? But this delight is in the, and let me tell you something, ministers, men and women of God, your servants of God, your ministers, your servants, your ministers, servants of God, ministers, you, that's what serving man is, to serve. That's ministry, to serve. And so the delight of the Lord is that where you sit at, seated at. So when you're doing God's will, and where are you getting fed from? What table are you sitting at? Because if you're in this world and you're not surrounded with people who love God, and your job is an assignment to be in that place where it's so uncomfortable, you need this word. Because if you ain't got no dings and no dangs and no dents in your armor, in that breastplate of righteousness of God, it's the armament of God, and you're shining, you ain't got no scars, you ain't been through nothing, then you're gonna have trouble give a testimony about what God has brought you from, because you don't know him. Because if you know him, you know you're going to suffer. So don't sit around the scornful and the hateful. Be careful where you go. Be careful what you say. Isaiah said, thus saith the Lord, he created the heavens and the earth, stretched out. The word, created the word. Over and over again, we find that the Lord is saying, I need you to know I created you. I created this world that you live in. And then he says in verse 6, I, the Lord, have called thee into righteousness. I will hold thine hand. Ooh, that's like a father and a mother or a grandma or your husband or your wife, just holding your hand with the will of God to tell you what's right, even though you may not want to hear, but to love on you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to alert you to see some things that you may not see, because that's what he gave us a mate for. To begin to reveal the things of God, so you have your wife and yourself and your family, and you build a relationship with God in that family, and he holds your hand and walk with you and keep you and give thee a covenant of the people for the light of the Gentile. He calls you the light, the Gentiles. You a Gentile. You from the seed of Abraham. And so Paul, who was Saul, who knew the doctrine of God, but did not have the relationship of understanding who God was. He just knew the word, but he didn't know the spirit of the word. And God took a sinner man who was killing Christians and turned him into an apostle and a disciple, and gifted him in such a way that he's one of the leading disciples in the Bible today, and give authority to you because he's given you the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the light of God. We must minister and serve. My favorite services are different. What God has for you is different than what we want from him. But we have to line up what I want. Let it become what God's will is first, and then he'll give you the desires of your heart. When you line up the will of God in your life, then he will give you the desires of your heart when you do his will, because he sent you to do something. So what you thought wasn't important becomes so important that it opens up a new road that you never saw, that takes you on a journey that you could only know that God did it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, while I live, I will praise him. That's why I'm praising, because I'm expecting you to have a miracle breakthrough. I'm expecting you to put on the whole armor of God. I'm expecting you to be able to come back and say, let me tell you what my God has done. Let me tell you what I was yet going through, waiting on the Lord to strengthen thy heart. Yet while in the battle, on the battlefield of the Lord, he strengthened me, and I looked the left and I looked right. Nowhere could I high, but the Lord, the arm of the Lord was around me, and he covered me with the shadow of it. That's the kind of God that we serve, and we understand that your will is not important to God. He's trying to get you to do his will. Have you asked yourself a question, brothers and sisters in Christ on this class, and those of you that are listening, what in God's name are you here for? What did Jesus send you here to do? So what is God's assignment for your life? What has God called you to do? Psalms 100 says, save, serve the Lord with gladness. So you have to be broken to serve with gladness. This is not a gladness when every time somebody sees you. And that's what I struggle with sometimes. I want to be in a place where the joy of the Lord is such power in my life that I don't experience no more pain at all. I just want you to hear the presence of God and what he's able to do. And I'm so grateful that he's brought me so far when I look back and see where he's brought me. So Matthew 20 and 26 and said, let him be your minister. But it shall not be among you so. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. In other words, you got to minister to other people. Jesus didn't come to save. He came to save the lost. Even as the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to not to himself, but to minister and to give life. And he gave his life as a ransom. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. So don't go into ministry looking for people to do something for you, and you're not willing first to serve God unselfishly to make sure that the people that you're ministering to, they're seeing you serving God with such love and such passion, and they begin to see transformation in your life, because now you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and you're doing things and changing in ways that people just stand back and say, like, I want some of that. Last week we said, well, why people don't want to follow you, because maybe we don't have enough Jesus in us. Maybe we don't have enough love of God in us. Maybe we need to spend more time with God so that the radiation of the reflection of God, the joy of God, the power. I don't like that word radiation. Let me get that out of my spirit because it has a negative connotation. But the glory of God, the presence of God, the love of God, it permeates the atmosphere, saturates you. And so let's go to this sit in the lap. Oh, my God, we're not going to get through this. Sit in the lap of the blesser and Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. Sinful woman. And so what we're talking about is God is saying to us, because he's kept his word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold the fast that which thou hast, and no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar. I'll make a pillar in the temple of God. So when you hear me talking about you, a pillar of strength, pillar meaning strength, that's to uphold the righteousness of God. Get your family rooted in God's word. The foundation of your life is the foundation of God's word. It's the rock, the rejection that you go through. Just remember that Jesus was rejected, but he becomes the cornerstone, becomes the stone that was rejected, now becomes the cornerstone. The cornerstone is what holds up the buildings. It's the iron that goes through when they now lay pavement things. They put iron in the middle of it or down the center of the columns because it grabs hold to the metals. And so it strengthens it on the inside and the outside. And so we have people who go to church and they say they're pillars, but they ain't got no structure on the inside. They don't have no metal down, no beatenness down that you've been beaten by God through. He's purified you. He's purged you. The word I'm looking for. He purged you and he cast out some weakness and replaced it with some iron of God, the iron sharpener. The Spirit of God sharpens you and it quickens you to see and to know to the glory of God. And then he goes down to verse 20 in Revelation 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door. Knock. I'm knocking at your door. Sit with me. I'm knocking at the door. Will you come in? Will you? I know thy works. Behold, I set thee before thee an open door. I know you. I know everything about you. No man can shut the door. I'm going to open some doors that no. And God says that, David, I'm giving you some keys, the keys of David. That's a whole nother lesson that I have that I taught. And he says, he that opens that no man can shut. You are too weak to shut the door. You're too weak to open the door. But God opens a door that nobody else could open to let you know I've anointed you. And so the alabaster box represents the woman who was a sinful man, a sinful woman, excuse me, but in the sinful man that we are in nature, the God has said the alabaster box will represent you. You stepped out of your pride and wasn't ashamed to worship God. And so you bow down and you worship God. And what the sinful woman was Mary Magdalene, who had a sinful life and had demons in her and had been a prostitute and all the things that she had done wrong. But she came to anoint Jesus. And he got criticized, but only did she not only anointed him, but her tears, she weeped before God. Have you weeped before God? Have you come before him to say thank you that you cried not because of your sin or because of the mistakes you made, but where he brought you from, but just because he's just been good to you. He's been so good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Who did all of this for you and still gave you a right mind to search the more for Jesus? Because thou hast kept my word. Kept the word. Kept the word. Have you kept his word? Because if you're an overcomer, you're a pillar of strength in my community. He said, I set a door that opening. I stand now at that door. I set a door and now I got a door that I open for you. I got a door that I'm standing at that I open for you. And I don't even need you to open it. I'm just telling you to come on out as the door is open. Step into the newness of your life. That's what the alabaster and the sinful woman represent. She wasn't ashamed of who she was in Christ Jesus. She wasn't ashamed to say, I had to call on God. I got saved because of the word of God. It was something that I heard that transformed me. It was something that happened in my life. And somebody spoke some wisdom and they said, Anton, you can do better than this. And you don't have to accept these things. If you feel good and discover who you are in Christ, you won't accept that stuff. You have a better life ahead of you if you just obey God and obey your parents and do the will of God. Love, let love be the foundation. The love of God be the foundation of your life. Let the love of God, because he is love. And so he says, sit at the lap of the blesser. Why he want you to sit there? So he learn how to teach you how to love on people. Teach you how to love your enemy, to warn you of your enemies, to warn you even of your loved ones. Glory to God. I ain't gonna go there. Simon, a Pharisee. There's a story about the Pharisee. Can y'all give me a few more minutes and I'm gonna close? I just hold on. Let me just get to this sum it up right here. See, this whole story going from page 196, and this Simon the Pharisee was a leper. He was a leper. In other words, you and I are sinners. We've been cleansed by Jesus. Page 196, and he invited Jesus into the home. And so Matthew says in the story of Matthew that the Pharisee Simon, a leper, And the woman comes in with an alabaster full of this precious ointment. And when we study the tabernacle, we're going to learn that the ointments represent different herbs that had to be crushed. And your prayers had to represent your tears and your sufferings that you come before God and it becomes a sweet smell. But what the alabaster box and what you're learning in the stories of the anointing is that it took you to be broken. And the alabaster box is you, your sin nature that's been broken. And that now you have been transformed and your prayers now become a sweet smell in my nostrils. Hey, glory to God. Because when you know that the suffering that you're going through, wait on the Lord and be a good courage. I'll strengthen your heart. For you have the poor with you always, but me not all the time. Stop critical. Leave that woman alone and let her bless me. Let her minister to me. That's what Jesus is saying to you. I want you to come and let go of everything and give me all your heart, your mind, and love me with all your heart, your mind. The greatest commandment that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and your strength. And this all that she had done shall be spoken of. See, when you do the will of God, he'll speak for you. He'll open doors for you. He'll save you. He'll give you peace. He'll dry your eyes in the middle of the night. He'll rock you in the cradle of his arm. He'll cover you with the shadow of his wing, because Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's God Almighty. And he even sent a comforter that'll carry for you and shake you in the middle of the night and say, get up, let's go. I got to show you something. Ooh, sit up, write these things down that I give you. So the stories about in John and Mark and the Gospels about the ointment and the spikenard, and very costly, because that was some years ago when they used to go get these herbs and they would crush them off. And it's in my book. We got that issue, but can't get into it too tough. But I want you to know that in order to get this ointment, it took the beating down and the crushing and the digging and the sacrifice to go get this. The onycha comes out of the shell of a musk in the ocean, and he had to go deep into the ocean to dig it up or to the seas and get it out, and it had a stinking odor. But when you mix it with the frankincense and the cinnamon, it brought about a sweet smell. So he transforms the brokenness of your life and makes you a sweet smell and makes you a new creature, and said, if you anoint my feet, meaning if Jesus washed your feet, whose feet have you washed? Who have you taken care of? Who have you taken care of? Who have you reached out to? What kindness have you shown to somebody? What consideration did you go ahead and take that parking space from that old lady and that old man? I saw you. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Those little things make a difference. Did you help somebody along the way? And so the story that I repeat over and over, before I even got to the end, even though I read it, when you read it and you study it, it becomes a whole nother book, a whole nother understanding. What is this alabaster box about? It's about your brokenness and not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about being broken to the place that you're thirsting for the more of the God that we serve through Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit bring all things that he's teaching you, that he'll open your eyes, because he brought 10 leopards. He saw the 10 lepers from afar, and it was a custom that if the lepers couldn't come close, but Jesus knew who they were, and Jesus told them what to do and to go to the priest. And so on the way, sometimes Jesus will heal you immediately, sometimes he'll wait and he'll send you on the way. So the lepers are you. Your sin nature is leper. It's a leprosy. It's a disease of the mind. It's a disease of the flesh, to have the will of flesh over the things of God, and we refuse to obey God. That's the leprosy. That's the sin in your flesh, in your natural spirit, that's in the way of what God. He said, I got to clean you up. But we are all unclean things. Isaiah says, your self-righteousness. I didn't say it. Jesus had it written down. God spoke it. And he told Isaiah, tell them that they're all is unclean, and y'all unclean. Your self-righteousness are as filthy rag. You're all of our. When he says our, that means your self-righteousness. He says, that's filthy rags. And there's none that's called up into thy name that stood up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face. Can't hide from God. Don't hide. Be honest and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I got some terrible thoughts. Yes, Lord. But now, O Lord, thou art my Father. Yeah, listen to this. I forgot to highlight this one. Oh, yeah, this is verse 8, Isaiah 8. Yeah, who's the potter? You ain't the potter. You're not the anointer. You got some power, but you ain't the real anointer. And if you ever get so high-minded, then you fake, you hypocrite. Now the Lord, our God, said he is the potter, we're the clay. He's shaping us. He broke you. He allowed you to be broken to make you a beautiful person. Walk in love. So you can't get this love in the natural flesh. It comes from God. And so Ephesians says, walk in the love as Christ has always loved us and given himself for us, an offering. So that's why your sacrifice becomes a sweet smell to Jesus, because Jesus became a sweet smell to God Almighty himself, to God in the spirit, in the realm of heaven, that he heard the smell. He saw the smell of a sweet aroma, which now the flesh, which was disobedient to God, is lined up for the will of God. Because you're willing to make the sacrifices. But your fornication, your uncleanliness, and your covetousness, all of that is not fitting for saints. And so he says to you, neither filthiness nor foolish talking or reveling or coarse jesting, none of that is welcome into heaven. Your name will not be there. For as thus known, that no fornicator, unclean person, no covetous person, in other words, hating on somebody and cheating on somebody and trying to take what they got and lying on them and taking it and deceiving people, who is an idolater, but yet what do you worship? Who's an adulterer has an inheritance. No fornicator. None of these things have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. And so he goes on and he tells us, but he says in Philippians 4 and 18, 19, an odor of a sweet smell, sacrifice, well pleasing to God, but my God supply all your needs according to his riches and his glory. So when you sacrifice and you're giving up and you feel like you can't go on, he says that I have fully received a report on you, and the odor of smell is a sacrifice. Your sacrifice become a sweet smell in the nostrils of God. That's what your prayer life does for you. That's what your prayer life does for you, because God knows your heart. And he says, you humble yourself enough and I'll begin to reveal something according to the riches of glory of God that worketh in me. Revelations 8 and 4, another angel came and stood at the altar, and the smoke of incense which came, listen to this, Revelations 8 and 3, 8 and 4, go to verse 4, and the smoke of the incense represents the sweet smell that comes with the prayers of the saints. Who are the saints? Saints to you, the believers, those of you that have intimacy with God and truly love God. And the only one that can tell you how much you love God is God himself. I can't tell you how much you love God. I can't tell you if you really love God. And I can. Your behavior may tell me something, but I'm not your judge. But your prayers at the altar become a sweet smell before God, that you're the saint. You don't get to be saint till you, when you die. Saint means to be a believer. That's what saying is. A believer who is disciplined by the word of God, discipled by God's word, saved by God's word. Are you always, you are always on God's mind? Are you? Yes, you are. But is he on your mind? Verse 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken heart. A broken heart and a contrite heart pleases God. Oh God, thou will not despise. It's pleasing to God. He desires you to be broken. He desires you to worship and adore him. Brokenness is a sign of your humility, because you go through something, you become, and listen to this, brothers and sisters in Christ and people of God who don't know you. I just want you to know, your brokenness is not just for you. Your pain and suffering, when he brings you out of it, it's going to bless somebody else. You can't teach somebody what you've never experienced. You can't witness somebody if you never experienced some stuff. And so I can't get through all of this tonight, this morning. Our service is tailored for God. Yes, they should be tailored to God. And so again, we see this woman who, and go down for me on that number 5 on page 9, I think it is, in your handout. Are our services tailored for God or for man? Weeping, the tears, and the breaking of the alabaster shows humility. And so look at this. He says, but the woman with the long hair, women, the hair of women is precious. This was precious. You know, it was a covering. It's a glory to her. This is very personal. You better not go touch no sister hair now. Now you walk up and sit talking about, hey, that look good. You get slapped. then it's not your place to touch another woman just because she's a woman. Not your place to touch another person because you just want to. But God is saying the hair. And then she washed his feet with her tears. And they didn't have shoes that covered their toes like ours. They had sandals. So everywhere they walked, you read the book, everywhere they walked, they got stuff all over their feet. And she didn't wash her feet. Washed Jesus' feet with her tears. She's weeping and crying. And then the alabaster box is broken and the ointment is spread. See, this one is the other one where Lazarus, at Lazarus' home with the dinner, that's not the same story. See, that was the anointing that the woman of God, Mary, placed over his head. This is the one with the sinful woman. This is Mary Magdalene. This is the sinner, like you and me, who let go of sin and God renewed you. Because you allow God to break you so that you become a sweet smell because of the life that you live for his glory, that you're helping taking care of somebody else. And they stood at his feet behind him and began to wash his feet with tears and wiped with her hair, the same glory hair that they called glory in Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And by Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 11 and 15, said the woman had long hair is a glory to her, for her hair is given for her for a covering. It's for her beauty. It is for the covering to keep the head covered, warm. Whatever it was, but it was for the glory of God. She took that hair. And you had to be awfully, they considered anybody to wash the feet, which was the custom. You were a lowly servant. You couldn't get no lower. You going down there wiping somebody's feet with some water and a rag, and her hair in this case, and drying it with her hair. And he'd been walking out there with animal dung and all that kind of stuff, dirt and must and grime, and she's wiping his hair, his feet. Listen to this, weeping is the joy behind Jesus. Weeping for joy behind Jesus, but the weeping of the Lord and the joy of the Lord is your strength. It shows humility and honor. She was delivered after hearing Jesus speak. So she was in a place where she just wanted to adore God. She just wanted, Lord, I can't do nothing else. But to man, that was below our standards to go. The man, the Pharisee, should have made provisions. Because later on in the story, and we don't have time to go into it, but none of the disciples that were with him, and nor did the man who was delivered from leprosy, the Pharisee, that was invited him to the house, made provisions that was the custom to wiping his feet, to wash their feet. But she did. And not only that, it says that the anointing of the oil is a show of adoration and love for Jesus. And anointed Jesus' feet with the ointment. Your tears can become the anointment. And Jesus receives your tears. Jesus receives the sincerity of your heart. The prayers of the saints, the believers of Jesus Christ. Thou tellest my wondering, but thou my tears, put thou my tears into the bottle. Are they not in the book? In other words, in the Lamb book of life, God says, I have a bottle. I have a place for your tears. I've written down your words in my memory, that these are sincere tears, that you've worshiped me, you've adored me, you've loved on me, you've ministered to me, you're doing my will. And he said, listen to this, verse Revelation 5. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which is the ointment, which are the prayers of the saints. So the vials, which was once the oils, the herbs, has now become the sweet smell of believers. Prayer is so powerful, so important for you. And so we've been going a little longer than I expected, you must demand of yourself, people of God on the next page, people of God, this is on page 202 in your book. People of God are so busy doing ministry, we miss worshiping him. We miss his presence because we're so structured. God wants his people, believers, to be worshipers in the spirit, to give him praise and honor, to seek ye first the kingdom of God. He wants to have intimacy with you and to seek a more intimate relationship through worship, to obey his word and give yourself as a living sacrifice. And I listed some scriptures here. The Lord is nigh them with that have a broken heart and saved, such as to be a contrite spirit. In other words, heartily sorry. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. See, so I've transformed you from the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of all of it. And he healed the broken heart, and he binded up your wounds, according to Psalms 147. So we can go through the Psalms and just tap dance all through it and take and praise him and adore him and glorify in the name of Jesus, because his word is true. He said he have no rule over his own spirit. It's like a city that's broken down with wall. So God says, if you obey me, I strengthen you. I strengthen you, the anointed. Do you want to be the anointed or the anointed? Be with the anointer. And so Pastor Tenney says we passed up, what is this, pedestalized. Took me a few minutes to get that out. Pedestalized. Now we put people on a pedestal who've been anointed. We begin to worship them more than we worship God. We begin to obey them more than we obey God, because we won't go in church and worship God. We won't shout. We won't dance. We won't holler. We won't scream. We just got to be quiet. You got something to shout about. So read the rest of this and fall in love more with Christ. I had a question. I'm closed on this, on page 205 of your book. And I understand what he's saying, but be careful when we're reading some of the things that people write. And it's a great teaching. But he says, God was arrested by the cries of a prostitute. I don't agree with that statement, but I understand what he's saying. But I didn't like that statement, because Jesus was not arrested by no prostitute. He saved the prostitute. He saved Mary Magdalene. That was the woman at the cross when he died with his mother Mary. And so understand that this whole business of the woman and at the well at Samaria, And all these stories that go with it, Jesus meets the woman at the well, this is another woman. This is a Samaritan woman. And God knew her sinfulness. But he said, if you drink of this water, that I'll give you. He said, whatsoever drink of this water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I give you, let me read it again. This is in John 4:14. But whosoever drink of this water, what is the water? It's the word of God. Remember, it said it rained down doctrine, the teaching. He rains down teaching of his word, the doctrine of his word rains down. But the Father that I will give him shall be in him a well of spring water springing up to the everlasting. And so I just want you to go and read those things. I'm going to close. Thank you for staying with me a little longer today. I praise God. Forgive me for the length of this, but these lessons are so powerful. There's so much to learn. And I thank you for your staying on with us. I thank you so much for your presence. And may the peace of God continue to strengthen you, to guide you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray and I thank you for the word. But I pray somebody's heart was pricked, that somebody opened their heart, that somebody would give their life to Jesus, God, and confess with their mouth and believe in their hearts that you are the risen Savior, that you came, as the word says, in the beginning a word that became flesh, and you became Jesus, and you came to save us and save us from our sin nature, oh God, and our self-righteousness that you count as a filthy rag, and you turn us into new creatures in Christ Jesus, and old things passed away and all things become new. God, thank you for the new beginnings and every member on this class. And thank you for new beginnings for all those who are believers in spite of the pandemic, in spite of the financial struggles. Bless them indeed, oh God, and pour out a blessing that they won't have room enough. Give them favor of godly favor, godly wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Let your grace permeate the atmosphere with the glory of God all over the world. We thank you, God, for this lesson. We thank you because we are God chasers. We want the more of you. And we're thanking you for this class. We thank you. Next week, we will not have class because it's Thanksgiving week. and listening to several of you and my wife, Elder Jennifer Seals. We're not going to have class next week, and we just thank you. We'll be back on the 30th. Any questions before I go? Any questions, any comments? Thank you again, Sister Emma, Sister Willamette Chalamet, Brother Clarence, and Sister Naomi. Thank you. Thank you all. Keep Brother James Young in prayer. He's doing well, but we're praying for him because he works with a lot of terrible situations that people are going through in this world. He's seeing a lot of death. He works with the coroner's office, and we just want to ask God to strengthen him because he has such a heart that pours out. So God, pour more back into James Young. We thank you in the name of Jesus. And to all of you, God bless you and peace be with you always. Take care, everybody. Love you with the love of Jesus. Anything you can do about it, but spread some more love. Glory.